Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, can everybody hear me okay? Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time I stepped into the pulpit to preach a sermon at one of my last churches and I could tell my microphone wasn't quite working, so I looked up and I said to the sound person, there's something wrong with this microphone, and without missing a beat, they said, and also with you. Yes, that was one of my dad's favorite jokes to tell at the beginning of a church talk, so I thought I'd share it on this day when we talk about Sarah and laughter. Did you know that scientists have pinpointed 19 different kinds of smiles? 13 muscles are used for smiling, but 50 muscles are used for frowning. Laughter helps you take in more oxygen-rich air. Laughter cools down your stress response. Laughter helps with circulation. Laughter relaxes you. Laughter improves your immune system. It relieves pain and just makes you happier. 10 to 15 minutes of daily laughing burns 10 to 40 calories. A typical 10-minute conversation has an average of 5.8 bouts of laughter. Even those with zero sense of humor can reap the benefits of laughter by faking it. Forcing yourself to laugh or even just smile can improve your mood. The human brain is not able to distinguish spontaneous laughter from self-induced laughter. It seems like a no-brainer that laughter brings life. And that's what we see in today's Bible story. The story really begins many chapters before. God makes a promise to Abram, "You will be a great nation. You are blessed to be a blessing to all nations." And God tells Abraham to count the stars, and you will see how great your ancestors will be. But Abraham has just a hard time believing this promise because Abraham is pretty advanced in age. So that's where we pick up today's story. Pastor Dixon just read it. To recap, he said, the Lord appears to Abraham while he's sitting at the entrance of his tent. There are three men standing nearby. Abraham hurries to meet the men and offers extensive hospitality. The men accept this extravagant hospitality, and then one of the men tells Abraham that his wife Sarah will have a son in about a year, and Sarah laughs. So what makes you laugh? We laugh for many reasons, and we laugh in many ways because laughter bonds us. Laughter reminds us that God is God and we are not, and at its heart, laughter expresses joy. And I believe that anyone truly in touch with God is joyful. Just think about the people in your life who have lived or continue to live deep lives of trust and faith in God. Are they not joyful people? Last week when we had that memorial time and we could listen to the beautiful music and think of the saints who had gone before us, I closed my eyes in front and one by one, the saints who had gone before me just flashed through my mind. I'm thinking of it again. And they were always smiling. That's how easy it is for me to think of those with deep faith. They're always smiling. Being close to God is to be joyful. But unfortunately, in some church circles, being serious is taken as the true mark of being a religious one. I love what Father James Martin says about that. If you're deadly serious, you're probably seriously dead. I'm a fourth-generation Lutheran pastor. Pastors on both sides of my family for four generations. And passed down through the generations was a real pietistic streak. No dancing, no drinking, no card playing. We did Rook, if anybody else knows that game, for fear of what those things might lead to. And so we were pretty good about people looking to us as pietistic people. But now that I myself am a pastor, I can see that the church has a real opportunity to bring forth the humor and joy that is embedded in the Bible. It wasn't until I went to seminary that I was taught all of the nuance in Hebrew and Greek words, and though I don't use these very much in my sermons or even reflect on them that much at all anymore, when I was at the seminary, I found it fascinating to see all of the depth and humor just one word, one of those original words, could bring to the story. But we don't get that today when we read the Bible because humor is very culture bound. Excuse me. I remember living in Seattle with people from all over the world right out of college, and every Saturday evening I would turn on Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion because it reminded me of my beloved Minnesota. I thought it was hilarious. But one of my best friends from Scotland, who could have been a late night talk show host herself, just didn't see the humor in it at all. Because humor is very culture bound, so we don't really get stories the same way the people of different time frames and places would get them. And that might be true for us in the Bible as well. Another reason we might be kind of serious in church is that we've heard the stories so often. We've heard the liturgy so often that they've become too familiar. As I already mentioned, my dad would love to tell jokes in any talk he gave. And if my mom would be there, she'd just sit there with a twinkle in her eye, but never laugh. People would ask her why she wasn't laughing, and she'd just say, "Well, to tell you the truth, I've heard them all before," which is absolutely true. But that's not to say you can't laugh when something's familiar. It's like the joke of the man who is sent off to prison for the first time. At night, the lights in the cell block are turned off, and his cellmate goes to the bars and yells, "Number 12! And the whole cell block breaks out laughing. A few minutes later, somebody else in the cell block yells, "Number 4! And again, the whole cell block breaks out laughing, and so this new guy that's in prison asks his cellmate what's going on, and he says, "Well, we've all been in this prison for so long that we know the jokes by heart. All we have to do is yell a number instead of saying the whole joke, and people will laugh." So the new guy says, "That's very efficient." And his cellmate says, "You try it. Just pick any number between 1 and 50. We know them all." So the new guy walks up to the bars and yells, "Number 6! Dead silence. He sits down and looks at the old guy and he says, "What's wrong? Why didn't I get any laughs?" And the old guy says, "Well, some people can tell a joke, some people can't." So today God asks the question, why did Sarah laugh? And I ask the question, why do you laugh? Because I don't think we can ever underestimate the power of laughter enough. As Karl Barth, one of the most influential Christian theologians of the 20th century, said, "Laughter really is the closest thing to the grace of God." That sentence alone gives me pause. Because to laugh reminds me again that I'm not God. To laugh bonds me with other people. To laugh brings pure joy. But it's important to know that there's good laughter and there's bad laughter. Good laughter, of course, builds people up. Bad laughter tears people down. Good humor is self-deprecating. Bad humor makes fun of someone else. They seem pretty obvious, but I just feel like it's worth articulating just in case. Laughter really is the closest thing to the grace of God because both laughter and grace are foolish. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that the message of the cross is foolishness. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. The biblical story, the worshiping community, act of laughter and joy are the clearest way I believe the church can attest to the possibilities that the world judges to be impossible. Because God's story depends on impossibility and humor. It was so in Genesis. It was so in the life of Jesus. It is so today. God asks Sarah, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" And Sarah laughs. In the midst of her barrenness, in the midst of her relationship with God, Sarah laughs. And yet God's promise does come true. And she births a beautiful baby boy named Isaac, whose name, incidentally, means laughter. God gave Sarah laughter. God gives it to you, too. Laughter is the legacy that carries all of us in this ancestry of faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.